Responsibility is something that we need to contemplate, something that we need to think about, because as responsible Christians, we have a duty to perform. And I do take my eldership seriously, although some may not think I do at times. I take it very, very seriously. I'd like to begin the preaching services. I'm so glad that we began this sermon in this particular preaching service by stating that we meet in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's going to be an important background to the whole sermon. I'd like to read one of my favorite passages of Scripture in Jeremiah. And we're affected by these two passages of Scripture found in Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord." Now note, it doesn't say, "Thus saith the preacher." It doesn't say, "Thus saith Tony," but it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we shall not walk therein." Also, in verse 17, "I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trump, but they said, we will not hearken." How many of us today are sincerely, honestly, within the depths within our hearts, are glad to be here this morning? Oh, I see some hands raising. That's great. And some aren't. Don't be bashful, because regardless of whether you raise your hand or not, there's no diplomas going to be given. And after the end of the sermon, you can walk right out and do what you have been doing. And you know what? A lot of individuals will do exactly that. Regardless of what they hear from the pulpit, they will do what they have been doing. The preaching is supposed to change the direction of our lives. It's supposed to change the attitude that we have toward one another. And here in Jeremiah, the Lord said, "Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way?" And we, as Christians in this nation, have come to the crossroads, if we already haven't passed it, to be enabled to turn things around. We, as Christians, and not only of us that are sitting in this particular church at this particular time, but all of those that invite Jesus Christ into their hearts and are desirous to serve Jesus Christ, are under the term or the outline of being a Christian. We don't have the market on it. Watchmen. Who are the modern day watchmen today? Preachers? Talkers? Speakers? How many of you have heard those terms? Speaker? Talker? Preacher? How many of you have heard that? Don't be afraid to raise your hand if you have. Sure, there you go. Sure, you've heard that. Okay, before we go on, I'm going to read something that Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King now, Martin Luther of the Reformation said. God created the world out of nothing. Has anybody heard that before? Have you heard this statement, read this statement? I don't want to bore you with it if you have. Oh, go ahead and bore us. All right. Thank you, sir. God created the world out of nothing. As long as you are not yet nothing, God cannot make something out of you. Do you get it? Do you understand it? Mankind today doesn't need to depend upon God because he's so intelligent. You see. And when our intelligence supersedes God's intention for us, then who needs this individual called God? Who needs this individual called Christ who died upon the cross for us? God created the world out of nothing. As long as you are not yet nothing, God cannot make something out of you. I am not a traditionalist preacher. I don't go by themes of the season. However, I would like to say we should give special thanks for the beginning of the holidays of Thanksgiving, for we have much to be thankful for. And think about 3 John 3:16 when you give thanks. Thanks for the Son of God. How many of you like to be talked to? How many of you like to be spoken to? How many of you like to be preached to? More hands are going up by preaching. You know, there's a difference, brothers and sisters, between talking, speaking, and preaching. And we have the dire habit of saying the speaker of the hour. Jesus didn't promote a speaker of the hour. He didn't promote a talker. But he said, preach the word. Let's go on into page 154 in the Book of Mormon. Book of Mormon, second book of Nephi, chapter 12. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing, of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. But behold, that great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must humble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. Do we live today in a condition as prescribed in the Book of Mormon that I just read? How many would agree that we do? We do live in that condition today. We do live in a condition where men's hearts are angry at each other. They are stirred up to anger. And we find that who is being persecuted today? Not you as an individual, but the Christians. Yes, sister, that's exactly correct. Today, the Christians are being attacked. The Christians are, as Jesus Christ was, a lamb going to the slaughter. In what manner? In this manner. There was a day and time in which the season that we approach, that in any public building that you wanted to go into, you would find, almost without a doubt, a scene of the Nativity, something in the biblical sense of Christmas, and I don't mean Santa Claus. I mean Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus. But today, in these same public places, through our federal government, through our local governments, through our county governments, there are people that arise and say, look, you're offending me with this birth of Jesus Christ. My child, we do not believe in this particular Christianity of your religious belief, and so you are offending me. So because of this offense, what happens? You don't see these things anymore. They're outlawed. Prayer is outlawed. Yes, the Christians are being attacked. We're losing it. We're losing it. You may not believe this sitting here, and you may think that you're going to go home and you've got what you've got. But you know, tomorrow you may not have what you have today. We're losing it. For behold, in verse 24 on page 154, for behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify. Are we as Christians, are we in the Church of Christ being pacified? Oh, pray tell not. And lull them away into carnal security. Carnal security, from spiritual security to carnal security. You came from carnal security, or if you'd like to call it that, of which everyone else was doing. Ah, here it is. That they, unto carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. Do you believe that? Do you believe all is well? No, I see some heads shaking. No, not all is well in the place in which we call Zion, or the land of Zion, or the center place. I've always believed that the Church of Christ in the center, what we call and know and respect as the center place, out from it should go to motivations of spiritualism, of spiritual endeavors, to the rest of the world, and I mean to every congregation that is called the Church of Christ Tempelot. From here should be the actions and interactions of the Spirit of God. Is that a lot to expect from the people here? Might think so. On page 155 in verse 30 it says, "Therefore woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion, woe be unto him that crieth all is well, woe be unto him that hearken unto the precepts of men." Have precepts of men crept into the church? Is precepts of the gospel being preached by the ministry? Pray tell not. Woe be unto him that crieth all is well. Woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men and denieth the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, what is our dilemma? Why are we in the world? Why are the Christians being persecuted today? Well, there's an answer in the Bible. There's an answer in the Bible. And we can turn to it and it's been read and it's been quoted. It's been expounded upon by the many preachers that have been behind this pulpit and other places that you've been privileged to be at in a preaching service. Let's go to Ephesians 6. And here are these two particular passages of Scripture. We find a plea. We find a plea in Ephesians 6 beginning at the 11th verse. "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And the wiles of the devil are running to and fro across this land. And the other day when I was driving, I don't know where I was going, but I was looking at all the traffic, and I thought to myself, there they go, to and fro. Why do we need this full armor? Why do we need that protection of God? "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," not against each other, not against flesh and blood, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And brothers and sisters, we're living in that condition also. It goes hand in hand with the Christians being persecuted, with government corrupt. You may not believe this, and I haven't heard it from the pulpit, but maybe many of the ministry have thought about it or seen it, but we are headed in for a one world government. Believe it or not, we are headed in that direction. And I'm not all that unsure that we are in vastly deeply rooted in the time of the coming of the Antichrist or prior to it. If we're not in it, we're on the very edges because we're being lulled asleep. They're talking about a new world order, peace, peace, peace. But the gospel of Jesus Christ tells me, brothers and sisters, there is no peace. And the only peace that you can have, not as the world giveth, but as Jesus Christ giveth individually. President Clinton the other day said in his speech that we are a step closer to new world order. Yes. Chapter 6, Ephesians 12, memorize it. Because this is what's happening. This is what's taking place. Why? Why is there this corruption in high places in those people whom we believe that we have given authority through the voice of vote to do things for what we call the constituents of the things that are right and just by God? Because God has been removed, for one thing. God has been removed. If we go over, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. And we'll if we are not dealing with flesh and blood, but we are dealing with people that are spiritually removed, here in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 14, says, but the natural man, then these what is a natural man? What would you say a natural man is? Unconverted. Unconverted. Good for this side. Unconverted. Yes. See? Unconverted. That's the natural man. He's not converted. Now, what does he have to be converted to?
Spiritual.
Spiritual. Good. Good. Equal. Both sides good. Yes. All right. The natural man. He is concerned about what? Worldly things. The worldly approach. The monetary system. But the spiritual man is supposed to be, now notice I use the word supposed, to be what?
Spiritual.
Spiritual. Yes. Supposed to be spiritual. But it says here in the scriptures in which we believe, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, not interested. Who cares? Do your thing. Let's go over into Luke and get some conviction of this. Into Luke, and we want to go to Luke 6. Luke 6. Luke 6, in just one verse, Jesus Christ speaking. Luke 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's a good one to remember too. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things of which I say? Well, can't he see for just one minute or a few minutes or a day or a week that I've got things to do that I need to do? I don't have time for him. After all, somebody told me just the other day that I'm human. It's only natural for a man to do certain things or a woman to do certain things and want certain things. And I'm not against wanting. And I'm not against wish books. But when your priorities become confused, that's when we go in error. Could anyone, that'd be pretty hard to answer, wouldn't it? Why do you call him Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That becomes a convicting scripture. How come I don't do exactly as he says? Well, for one thing, he did give me my moral free will, moral agency, and boy, I sure like to use that. Is the Lord particular? Would you say the Lord is very particular? Would you say the Lord is exact? Would you say the Lord is absolute? Ah, yes. Amen. Amen. You know, the other, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was in the temple lot, and I think it was Bob Oldham that was preaching, and he said something, and I said, "Amen, Bob." Boy, that just startles everybody. You know, that just shakes everybody up. Hey, you don't do that in the Church of Christ. Hey, if it's good and it's true, it's true. Truth is truth no matter where you find it. I'm becoming more and more man is the one who has put denominations in front of their churches. Jesus doesn't look at that. What is he looking at? What do you call that inside? Heart. What about, there's a name that is given to the heart. What is it? Sincerity. Would anybody say sincerity? All right. Sincerity of heart. This is who he is after. The sincere in heart. Now, I do believe that Jesus Christ, when he returns and he's on his way, that he's going to have to come back to that which he has set up. He set his church in order. I believe that. I believe, as the Book of Mormon states, that there are saved going to be two churches, one of the Lamb and one of the devil. There's only going to be two choices, and if there's only two choices, where are all these here other denominations? There isn't. Well, we agreed that he is very particular. That he is very, very particular. I want to go into Exodus. Exodus. Is it okay if I preach till about 4? Oh, did you see the eyes fall? Oh my, no. Pray tell. Pray tell. Oh, there's so many good things. There's so many good things to say. So many things to bring and shake the mind up. Okay, in Exodus 3, well, I don't really know where to. Let's go up to the, no, let's start at verse 3. And Moses said, "I will not turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." So now I've told you where we're putting our story. We're putting when Moses went up to Mount Sinai and he was going to speak to God, Jesus Christ, he was going to talk to him. And so this is where we find ourselves at this particular time. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." And he said in verse 5, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Lord is very particular at that particular moment, at that particular time. He says, "Now don't come up here with your shoes on. You take your shoes off. Buddy, you're standing on holy ground." He was particular. He meant what he said. It was holy ground. Moses did what he said. Moses didn't have any problem with doing what he said. Why do Christians have problems with what Jesus Christ has said? Okay. In Exodus 20. Eight. Exodus 25, verse 8. And let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. What's a sanctuary? What do we know as a sanctuary today? Church, right? A place, four walls, doors, windows, so forth. That's a sanctuary. And therein, if it is dedicated to God, then it is what? Holy? Is it supposed to be holy? Do you really believe that when you come into this particular building, and as our brother pastor said, we welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ and whose name we do meet, that you actually believe that Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, is here? Do you actually believe that? You believe that as being true? Our brother Richard, yes, there's some head shaking, yes. You believe that is true? Then it is like standing upon holy ground. Now we also believe the scriptures where it states, where two or three are gathered in my name, there in the midst there I am also. If, when we meet two or three in the name of Jesus Christ, what does that become? Does that become also holy? Sure. Because you're speaking of spiritual things. Now, let me ask you another question. Do we treat the sanctuary with that respect? No. A little small voice said no. So between now and next services or next Sunday, what's going to change? The building will be the same, so it's not going to change. So who is going to have to change or switch sides, or switch directions? Us. Right. Are we really, really in awe when we walk through those doors? Well, here Jesus Christ is found. I can find peace and solace with him. I can sit down in a pew, or I can kneel down and I can pray to him. And my brothers and sisters that are walking in, they're going to understand that I'm on my knees and praying. And they in turn will remain silent. Okay, in Leviticus, for those who'd like to follow, Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Here's a commandment. Leviticus 19, verse 30. Verse 30 of Leviticus 19. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths, and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. The same criteria as Moses standing on Mount Sinai. Get your shoes off, buddy. You can't come up here with your shoes. He may not have understood that, but it doesn't matter whether he understood it or not. What matters is the obedience in what the Lord asked him to do. Going over to 2 Timothy, this is what it admonishes, and by now you have gathered that I'm against, and I'm against, many people will tell you that I'm what you might term a ginner. I'm against that, and I'm against that, and I'm against the other thing. I'm against. Well, I'm going to read this, then I'm going to go into something here that'll maybe give some light here. In chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all suffering and long and doctrine. Now that is what preaching is about. That is what preaching is supposed to do. It is supposed to exhort. When do you do it? Any place, any time. Now, I can go into the dictionary, but perhaps maybe I better ask you to do it yourselves at home. Go into the dictionary and see, according to Webster's dictionary, unless the Lord has defined it differently, that he sent preachers out into the world. He did not send speakers. He did not send talkers. There's a difference. I could take the time and go into, but I better not. There's a difference between the two. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 16, Okay. In Matthew 16, verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, that includes his commandments. That includes those things that he has caused to be written, that we in turn will be obedient to them and do them. And the necessity of doing them, because when we take away from the sanctuary of wherein he dwells, that message of which he gave to us, we are diluting that word. You may not think about it as that in them terms, but we are diluting that. We are taking it in a carnal sense. Now, in the carnal sense, we become speakers or we become talkers. But in a spiritual sense, we are preachers. In Mark 16, I think here, let's see. In Mark 16, or Luke, Mark 16, it says in verse 15, "And he said unto them," now this, I'm quoting Jesus Christ, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that he said that? Do you believe that he meant it? How many believe that he meant it when he said, "Go out and..." There, boy, these hands are starting to go up now. Yes, he really meant that when he said, "Go out into all the world and preach." And what were they going to preach? What were they going to preach? Jesus preached the gospel. Jesus also taught. Now, let's go over to the Book of Mormon on page 350. 350 in the Book of Mormon. And we're going to just read just briefly about a man called Melchizedek. And this man called Melchizedek, he was a king. And this king, of course, when you have a kingdom, what do you have?
Subjects,
right. You have subjects. And the subjects are, of course, the people. In verse 11, "Now this Melchizedek was a king over the land of Salem, and his people had walked strong in iniquity and abominations. Yea, they had all gone astray, and they were full of all manner of wickedness. But Melchizedek, having exercised mighty faith and received the office of high priesthood according to the holy order of God," did talk to them about repentance, "and behold, they did repent." Is that correct? Somebody's shaking their head no, and somebody's smiling. Is that correct? No, that's not correct. Well, let's see what the correct way is. "But Melchizedek, having exercised mighty faith and received the office of high priesthood according to the holy order of God, did preach repentance unto his people. And behold, they did repent, and Melchizedek did establish peace in the land." He did preach unto them. So you preachers, you're in good company. Jesus preached. Melchizedek preached. Alma preached. And many of his brothers preached. And where was this preaching going to take place? Where does this preaching take place?
Throughout the world.
Okay, let's narrow it down. Let's focus in here. Where?
Sanctuary,
yes, Sister Jean. Yes, in the sanctuary. And that sanctuary is what? Holy. Why is it holy? There was a day and time this wasn't holy. Why wasn't it holy? Yes, there you go. It wasn't consecrated to the Lord. That's why it wasn't holy. But now all the people that were here in that dedication, when it was dedicated to the use to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ to the for the salvation of the souls of those that he has created, then it becomes holy. And we in turn must treat it as holy. Yeah, we've stepped out. Well, let me show it to you here. Do you see the vase? Remember this one? You see the vase? Can you see the vase fairly reasonably? Well, now, if I was to go like this, what you'd say immediately that it was a vase, because you'd see the flowers within it, right? Now, I close that, you see the vase. What else do you see? Oh, what? Face, two faces. How many of you seen the faces? I'm going to put it down. Louise showed it to you, didn't she? Roger, you seen this. Yes, you can see the two faces, especially if you point out the vase, then your attention is drawn to that. And if I do this, if I would have done this first, your attention probably would have been drawn to the vase exclusively. But then when I let it down, you can see the two faces facing each other. Well, this is what we are facing in our world today. You see, two faces. The face of the Antichrist and of the Christian. In the beginning, I said we were in trouble. Remember this one? I didn't show it to you. Surprising how many people would say, yeah, I seen that one. I am much afraid that schools will prove to be great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in their hearts, in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not increasingly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. And that's true. Our world, how many would say that our world is the same world we lived in 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? How many would say it's a vast changing world? Oh, yes, you can see it. And we're to be aware of that change. How many saw events that they didn't think would take place in the last 5 years that they didn't dream would ever take place? Yes, we've seen quite a few of them. It's moving fast. Now, who said this that I just read? Martin Luther. Do we have our priorities mixed up? I believe we do. In the Kansas City Star, not too many days ago, I read, had a cartoon. How many of you ever heard of this fellow named Judge? Judge? Do you like his cartoons? Some are okay and some you'd kind of pass on. This was in a paper, I believe, November 12th. You won't be able to see it from here. But it has a newsstand. Two men in the newsstand. And there are headlines in the paper there saying, environment disaster, government spending fiasco, Russian mess, medical care muddle, flooding, Bosnian slaughter, Irish violence, Somalia upheaval, Haitian problem, and the caption says, any chance we're losing perspective? And we have a man here that just is just wild because he is holding a paper that says Montana pulls a hamstring. Now, those are the things you want to be concerned about. See how our priorities have changed? Brothers and sisters, back in 1988, when Gary Hart was running for president of the United States, he was convicted of having an affair with some young lady. Because of that affair, Gary Hart was eliminated from the race of the president of the United States. 4 years later, the morals of this country have dropped 4 years more, and they accepted another that was accused for the same reason. Morals of this country, zip. Living together, zip. No wonder we're in a spiritual mess that we're in. Where and when is it going to stop? Oh, some say, well, when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to set everything in order. So right now, being that we understand that he's going to come and set everything in order, let's sit on our duffs and do nothing about it. It'll go on. I have a sheet of paper here. No writing on it, no nothing. When the world began, it was like that. Because everything in it was good. How do I know that it was good? God said it was good. Then man stepped into the picture. And notice, ladies, I didn't blame you. Man stepped into the picture. Same world, but what happened? It's a what? It's a mess. It's a mess. Now, if I were to say that these were the only pieces of paper that you could get, no more like them anywhere, and I had them and I said, well, I'll sell these two pieces of paper, four or five, whatever, which one would you buy? Well, you'd buy this one. Right? You'd buy the what? The perfect one? Would you buy this one? Can I see some young heads shaking yes? Good. Yes, that's what I would buy. Yes. Now, we said earlier that God was positive, God was absolute. What does he want? Absolute. He expects nothing more from us than we expect from him. This is how we've got to present ourselves to our Lord Jesus Christ. Priorities mixed up in the world, in the church. I think so. No, I don't like that word think. I know so. I believe so. I want to go into the last passage of Scripture, Hebrews 4. Now, with this, let me say, I admonish you to listen to what Hebrews chapter 4 and these two verses are saying to us today. It's relevant to our soul salvation, believe it or not, and it takes a little time to sit down by yourself and think about these things. Chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Let us be faithful in that of which we know to be true, and that of which we hear from the preachers that are sent to us of God to expound the bread of life, wherein that we can affix a surety that we will live and reign with him. And those mansions that he is there providing for us are not going to be empty. I thank you very much for your kind attention.
Thank you, Tony. He did bring to mind one comment right there at the last that I heard on the news the other night, and I'm sure quite a few of you heard it. You know, in the schools today, when the teachers were polled, their number one concern was physical assaults and guns and crime. 20 years ago, their main concern was chewing gum and crowding in line at the cafeteria line. I think that's an indictment. There's one announcement that I